Georgia runoff election for both U.S. Senate seats on January 5th will determine which party controls the Senate. If the incumbents win, the Republicans maintain control. But if the Democrat challengers win, it could be a perfect 50-50 split, making the VP tie-breaking vote give Democrats control. So all eyes are on Georgia. Voters there have already requested a record number of absentee ballots. And while the rest of us have finally been spared from nonstop political ads that have been bombarding us on TV pretty much all year, residents of Georgia have not been so lucky. It's gotten worse for them. In fact, some political analysts have estimated that $1 billion will be spent on political advertising in this runoff election. When we heard that, our ears perked up. As investors, this is exactly the kind of financial anomaly that we're always looking for if we can connect it to a stock. The dumb money community has been all over this one. They found a stock that could be the biggest beneficiary of this extra political advertising spend. So today on Dumb Money, we reveal the secret trade in a stock that might be the financial winner of the Georgia runoff election. This is Dumb Money Live with Chris Camillo, Dave Hansen, and Jordan McClain, streaming live on YouTube. We are Dumb Money. Hey there, Dave here along with Chris and Jordan. We are Dumb Money. Welcome to Dumb Money Live. So anytime we have a secret trade to reveal, I never know exactly how to start the show. I never know when we're supposed to reveal the secret. If you're an active member of our Discord community, you probably already know, or at least you might if you've been paying attention. And we are going to have a couple of members from the Dumb Money Discord community join us in just a minute to talk about the research they've done, including calling the campaigns and also the company itself, and I believe their competitors. So we're going to welcome Chris and Mark to the show very soon. But what do you guys want to talk about before that?
Well, first of all, who this election in Georgia, dude? Again, you know how I love investing in anomalies, black swans, anything that is we've never seen before, and we have never seen in our lifetime a runoff election this important, a runoff election that will attract this much attention, the advertising dollars. I can't even imagine how much money however much money we think is going to get pumped in, assuming that the polling tightens, and it's already crazy tight right now. I see the money just getting pumped up even higher as we kind of close in on this election, right? Because so much is at stake, dude.
So I saw in Politico that each of the four campaigns have already done between 20 and 40 million on TV. The total spending nearly 150 million, but that I saw a spreadsheet that Discord has been tracking, like down to the penny, based on like FCC filings. So we'll get into all of that. This is fascinating to me.
Well, and you realize, Dave, it's not just the party spending, but some of these super PACs can spend outside of the parties.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's where this billion dollar number came from. 150 million is way less than a billion. And so there's a lot of other spending going on to get us up to that bigger number.
And by the way, when you have that much abnormal demand on something like TV or type of ad spending, the rates have got to be exponentially higher, right, than what they ever would be normally. So there's no rate discounts, I would have to imagine, at least. So
it's all based on inventory and whether or not there's any. If you're not sold out, you get discounts. If you're completely booked, you have to, you know, charge your maximum published ad rates, sometimes a premium, just to get the slot.
And let me just say right off the bat, I missed this trade already, right? So like, this trade's been going on for weeks. Our Discord community was on the trade towards the early start of it. So my big question today is it too late?
Yes.
I missed the early part of the trade. Bad on me. I should have been more engaged with our Discord community. Now, is it too late, or is there still information imbalance here? Has the market fully appreciated what this runoff election is going to do to the company, the specific company we're going to talk about today, or have they underestimated how big of a deal this is this quarter for this particular company? So that's
should we just say what the particular company is? Should we just get right into it?
Let's bring our guest on. Let's talk about the company. Let's bring our guest on, because they really have dove deep. They are in so deep on the analysis. I'm really impressed with the research. And quite honestly, I started to do my own research. I'm like, I read their report. I did some of my own research, but I'm just going to listen to them because they kind of treated they're treating this trade like I treat one of my high conviction trades, which is pretty impressive. So I just want to listen to what they think. But yeah, go ahead, Dave.
All right, let's bring them in. We have Chris Sharp and Mark Saldana joining us. I believe Chris is in Dallas and Mark is in upstate New York, Buffalo. Is that right?
Buffalo, yeah.
All right, my memory has not failed me completely. Welcome, guys. So good to have you guys with us, and thank you for being on top of this. I saw that this company had their earnings come out November 5th. I saw your report. I didn't actually see it until November 11th, but it was posted to Discord on November 8th. But by the time I saw it, the stock was already up 25%. And that was like, have I missed it? Is it done? But since then, I just checked, and since that day, it's up another 10%. So,
hey, Dave, we should say, because people are already asking, are they financial advisors? No, there's not a single financial advisor on this broadcast. Because
we rarely have financial advisors because, what do financial advisors know, really?
Well, we want to make something very clear. What we're talking about is not for you guys to take as, hey, do this, do that trade. This is just going through the methodology of a social arb trade. I want you to understand our thinking, the thinking of our Discord community, why they made the trade, right? How they're measuring the information dissemination, how they're measuring all of the alternative data that we utilize to form a trade thesis. Okay, so this is more about trade thesis and strategy than us recommending something to you. So just note that we're not financial advisors. Do not mimic this trade. Do your own homework, but really learn from the process. That's what this show is all about. So back to you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, so also, your risk tolerance is different. So you got to.
Yes, it's always different for everyone, and we don't.
It's
know
like they've memorized your super long disclaimer. We should just have a graphic that goes up that says, "Don't do this. We don't know what we're talking about. Don't do what we do."
Yeah, but the idea really
I think
just
it's
started
more real when we're just putting it out there. But yes,
from that show that y'all did, and y'all said, "Wouldn't you like to own a ad station in Georgia?" And it clicked automatically.
Yeah, that's great.
And so
you started doing the research on what stations in Georgia will be receiving advertising revenue, and you kind of went back and looked at how much they had received so far, and you kind of tried to pinpoint which publicly traded company in Georgia has the biggest footprint in the market?
Exactly. And so I went into how many stations they have in the state, and GTN came out on top with 5, but there was also Tegna, Nexstar, and Meredith Corporation.
Okay, and GTN is Gray Television, right?
Yes.
And we have a nice little stock chart for you there.
Yeah, and so how many stations total does GTN own? Do you know?
90-something.
Is it 90? Okay, I knew it was north of 50. Okay, so this is 5% of their, 5 to 6% of their stations.
Yeah. Roughly, yeah, and mainly concentrated in the Southeast. And Mark, you were saying that in your calls, they were even getting ad revenue for the runoffs in Florida and Alabama.
Yeah. So I called every Gray television station in Georgia, and I told them that I wanted to buy advertising, which might not be a lie. I might want to buy advertising. And I called, I mean, everyone, and the ones in Dothan, the one in Tallahassee, and they told me in Tallahassee, half of their audience lives in the panhandle. They don't even apply to this election, but they're seeing a huge increase in ad spending for this runoff.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Because if you think about how TV works, at least in old-fashioned terrestrial broadcast television, it's a radius around a antenna, it doesn't follow state lines, right? So
yeah,
they could have a substantial audience in Georgia, even if they're not, located.
And not
there.
Only the television, don't forget the digital advertising, because they were trying to sell me on digital ads that could be targeted towards their audience in Georgia. So they're
is
all
this for their website
too. Yeah, for their website and stuff and banner ads, and
which is huge for them right now, considering Google and Facebook have their political advertising ban going on right now.
So what did you find out?
Did
you get any idea of the difference from what they maybe expected? Because we know that when Gray had their earnings call, they acknowledge the fact that the runoff is going to be big for them, that they project, they actually, I believe on the call, stated a number that they expected And so for us, the information arbitrage is, are we going to be ahead of or behind that number that they've publicly stated?
Exactly. So going up until the election, the earnings call was on the 5th. So they already knew everything that was from the presidential election. And that was $380 million. And so they were giving it $20 million upside for the runoff. And so they said, we may even get up to $400 million total.
Gotcha. So now the big question is there an element to this runoff in terms of additional revenue at these stations that they're maybe underplaying purposely? And even if they're underplaying it, do we think the market sees it? And if not, why? So what are you guys seeing that you think other people might not be fully appreciating? Investors of Gray TV, right? Just investors in general.
Well, I think one thing you mentioned earlier, Chris, was that the ad rates are up. So when I talked to the salespeople, they made no bones about jacking up the rates for the political campaigns. They flat out told me that there are local rates and then the political rates, and that's the campaigns or any PACs or super PACs. They told me that they will charge them 2 and 3 times what the local ads are going for.
Isn't there some kind of regulation where they have to charge everyone the same, but they can have a political rate and a local rate, and so the political rate has it can be 10 times higher for political advertising, but for all of, they can't charge one party more than the other.
Republicans and Democrats, then it's legal.
Yeah, they call it the political window. It expires January 5th.
Yeah,
and they can charge 2 or 3 times more than a local ad. And some of the stations, they had no issue kind of godfathering the political campaigns. They've told me, oh yeah, we'll sell to a local ad, but if a campaign comes in and offers us enough money and makes us an offer we can't refuse, then we'll just take their ad and ditch the local ads.
Yeah.
So they're just like, if you pay us enough money, we'll cut out every ad.
Yeah, and I have here from an article that a 30-second slot was sold on an ABC affiliate for $22,900 to a super PAC.
30 wow. seconds, and one time.
Have... Yes.
It's like the Super Bowl. Not actually.
But we don't know, like, to put that in context, do we have any idea what a 30-second ad normally goes for in that area of the country, like for that type of station? Or
it depends what – is it during a football game or is it during Wheel of Fortune? It's all
different.
So I've got some numbers that we can kind of go through. So basically, I read the conference call, and the CEO, I think it was the CEO, said that their political revenue was about $234 million in 2018. In 2020, they kind of guided that it would be $275 to $300. It's over that, and now he's thinking that it's going to be $400 plus. And so those are kind of the numbers, right, around just to frame it.
Yeah. And so
it's significant. I mean, it could be they could almost double their political revenue from 2018.
Yeah. So I think, listen, when we entered a social arbitrage, there's a few things we want to do, right? It's all about entering when we think there's a information imbalance. And I guess you guys are saying that the information imbalance here is that the breadth of demand across their station base, you think or you feel is deeper and even stronger than what the company has kind of outlined in their guidance? Is that what you're getting at? It's like step one?
Yes. And I think the digital ad ban on Facebook and Google is also being underappreciated. I mean, that's huge.
Do we know what percentage of Gray's revenue comes from digital versus their broadcast TV revenue?
From their, from what they filed, it only broke it down to political. Like, it doesn't break it down TV versus digital from what I saw.
Okay, gotcha. So we're not exactly sure how much, but what's interesting is I know that at least here in Texas, kind of the, you know, the old school media company that owns a bunch of the TV stations and the local newspapers, they have a digital arm. And what's interesting is that digital arm often will, because they have so many salespeople, because really, Dave, you know this, like these old school broadcasts and radio stations, they're all about direct sales, right? Yep. They have salespeople on the street working with all the local restaurants and anyone that the car dealerships. And what they do is they will form partnerships with digital media that's local and regional, and also these digital media networks to say, hey, let us utilize our salespeople to sell into your to kind of leverage our sales channel on your media. So I would imagine this might be something interesting for you guys to look into. But does Gray Media sell digital media for other digital media platforms, right? To leverage the Gray Media sales force. And then what happens is they split the revenue, right? So they split the revenue with that digital media base. And if that's the case, there's a chance that Gray is getting all the phone calls for ad spending from all the PACs, right? And then they're trying to twist a lot of those calls into, well, we can also sell you digital media. Like, we combine our demographics with digital media demographics. So there might be an opportunity for them to sell well beyond their normal capacity. That could be an area of arbitrage if you think it exists.
But you have to also realize that their number of page views is going to be limited, especially within a demographic and geographic area, right? So it's not like, well, they have unlimited page views the way a Facebook would, because it is very specific to, I mean, they can if they have like other third-party ads running on their site, they can turn those off and just run the ones that are being sold directly. They're higher margin ads, but there is a limited number of page views, right?
There's always going to be a limited amount of media, but digital media is so cheap that if they're able to get a premium for it, I imagine that they can capture a lot of those third-party digital channels.
And if they're ever going to get a premium for it, now's the time. So this is like a best case scenario as an advertising company in a market that has people just desperate to throw money at you.
And every station I talked to kind of alluded to the fact that they were sold out of a lot of the prime spot, you know, the Falcons football games and Georgia college football games. And so they tried to sell me on the digital advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and guys, listen.
God, can you even imagine watching the TV in a local market, just trying to watch a football game there? That has to be just super frustrating to see every ad be, this person is the worst person you've ever seen. This other person, it's just like.
There was a Discord member that was getting his haircut in Atlanta, and while he was getting his haircut, he saw two political ads.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Is there anybody who hasn't made up their mind yet?
by the way, some people in the comments mentioned, you know, too bad they already had their earnings. Guys, this is not about what happened in the past. This is about the company's guidance for this quarter, which is the big quarter related to this runoff election.
And the earnings came out after the election, but it didn't include the entire election period. But they knew the results, so they just couldn't report on the rest of the election. This is basically the rest of the election, and mainly we're thinking that the runoff is going to be bigger for them than they even expect.
Yeah, this is going to capture all of October for them, which was already good, and then all of the runoff.
And I know that in your report, you say that, you know, political ads are something that they have to publicly disclose how much money they've received. So you guys have been digging in to the data and the filings, I guess, with the FCC or the FTC or some, wherever they have to post that information, and like compiling your own spreadsheet to keep track of how much spending you think is being allocated across the various media companies. And that's how you kind of chose Gray over Tegna or any of the others.
Yeah, so Gray, their political advertising is made up over a little bit over 21% as to like Nextstar and Meredith were at 12% and 8%. So
what do you mean by 20%? 20% of the revenue is coming
overall from revenue is political advertising.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So they're more heavily concentrated in political ads, but still this area of the country that's impacted by the runoff is about 5-6% of their total ad historically, just historically, right? Like historically, but that doesn't necessarily, but with it being as heavy as it is right now, it could end up being 10 or 12% of the quarter. Who knows? It's impossible really to know. And that's my issue. It's just really hard to get granular here with what is really happening versus what do people anticipate will happen this quarter because of the runoff. I felt like the bulk of this trade was weeks ago, not today. That's what scares me a bit. And then my other question is, what else is happening at this company? This is part of the social art process. What else is happening that could be more important than the runoff? I don't, because it's 5-6% of the revenue, maybe 10-12% this quarter. It looks like this is kind of a bounce back trade, right? I think part of the reason why this stock has run so hard the past month is not necessarily just the election and just this runoff, but I feel like part of the reason Gray is down, I mean, this is not debatable even, is because of the, you know, decrease in ad revenue due to the pandemic this last year, right?
Well, and look, and the CEO said as much on his on the earnings call, but said that they actually they performed way better than they thought that they were going to. And especially this helped fill a huge gap when you're talking that they basically doubled their political revenue from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So the big question is, what do we think? You have two drivers then, right? You have a driver that everyone's thinking about, which is post-pandemic, back to normal. Hopefully Gray TV gets back to normalized levels, which is they're getting close to right now, right? Because it looks like this, you know, the stock is kind of traded in the low to mid-20s, and they're getting up there. They're at $18. So they're right kind of in that range of upper teens to lower 20s. But we think this could be one of the just an outlier quarter, right, guys? So maybe there's more room to run. Maybe the news is better between the combination of bounce back and – but is there really bounce back this quarter? Probably not, because places are closing for the pandemic. So is that a risk factor, guys? Like the is the local spend going to come in less than we thought,
or the company thought? Or is local spend going to be completely replaced by political spend? And they can get rid of the lower cost.
We don't need it to be replaced. We need both. We need so much spend that it's going to be better than what anyone anticipates. So what I'm saying is, you guys are saying political spend is going to be better than the market anticipates. And I kind of can get behind that. But because of how sharply this pandemic is hitting local businesses right now, with restaurants shutting down, lower, you know, less hours, going back down to 25% seating, only outdoor seating, you know, all the other stuff that's happening with people not kind of getting out there for the holidays, is that going to be a net negative that we're not, that wasn't factored in a month ago or 3 weeks ago when earnings, when they had their earnings call?
Well, yeah. The other thing is that this company, it seems like, is kind of, you know, some of the second tier type markets. I think Sinclair has some of the major market guys. Like, they're a bigger player. It seems like most of these guys are like you said, Southeast Georgia. I looked in Texas and they were all kind of like scattered outside of the metro areas. So it seems like they're all kind of remote places that would rely more on local advertising.
Yeah, there's actually one in Waco where I'm from. So okay. That's kind of how I knew about it.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, I don't know how to interpret that. I think you say that they're more focused on local advertising, but that's in a normal quarter, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's kind of the danger, right?
Yeah, but I feel like with the political advertising, they want to get everybody in the state. They don't care, right? They just they don't care if it's they want all of it. They want all of it. And beyond that, do you think, Jordan, the fact that there are more in rural and suburban communities, does that help them with some of this pandemic shelter in place? Because the more rural you get, it seems like the less people care.
What are you talking about politics? Place. About the? Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, there's a lot of things to think about here, right? Like it's a complex trade.
And so maybe the Sinclairs get hurt more because they're in major metro areas, but then these guys don't get hurt as much because, you know,
they're scattered in the rural Southeast.
Yeah, people are just like living their life. They're not that worried about it.
Dude, Jordan, I was talking to, you know, my buddy Patrick, who's been helping us mail out all those books and stuff. And he was telling me out in Heath, where he lives, which is like a deep, deep suburb of Dallas, but it's, you know, a good 35, 40 minutes outside the city. And they have like multi-acre lots. He said that every football game on Friday night has been packed like normal. Like literally the stands have been packed. And like, you know, he goes there and kind of sits in a, you know, a lawn chair on the side, they bring on the side, so they're socially distanced. But he says, you know, it's surprising when you get out in the suburbs, the deep suburbs, you know, I think there's less of an impact, or at least to now, there's been less of an impact, right, of people sheltering in place and not going out. So maybe they are less impacted on the local ad side. I don't know.
Yeah, and, I just and don't know.
Are restaurants the, open in Georgia? Or?
From the chat, I see that S57, I don't even know that name, but they said, I live in Georgia. Nobody cares about masks here. Same with Florida. Florida and Georgia don't close anything. Everything's wide open.
Yeah, Justin well, Nash says, I live in rural Southeast Georgia. The theme is, what's COVID?
That's just shocking.
So but, that's what I thought. That's what I assumed would be kind of the cultural component in those rural areas of Georgia, and it's nice that people are validating that. So okay, so maybe that's not as big of a concern.
And like I said, with the when I read that conference call, the CEO said that they weren't as affected by COVID as they thought that they would be. At least that's what I think I read that.
Jordan, that's exactly right. Yeah. Because, and then even more so now because I think in a lot of these rural areas, like initially people were like, okay, we'll chill out, like with the government saying chill out. And now they're like over it, right? So now they're over it. So I think if he was less impacted 3 months ago, I think he'll be even less impacted than he thought this quarter, right? Yep. Because people are just kind of over it in rural America of that stuff.
So,
and George,
what's
the
trade?
What was your thoughts on the GTN share buyback program?
Yeah, I mean, that's just another way to boost stock price. I mean, that's so the other things that were interesting about the call is that mixed in with him talking about the share buyback, he's talking about refinancing debt at a low rate, you know, really good rates for a television station. And then also he kind of went on a rant about their share price and the multiples that they trade at compared to their competitors, which I looked at their PE ratio is like a 7, right? They're a $1.6 billion market cap company, which that's the problem is I just don't know. I don't study these types of companies, so I don't know what to expect for a multiple for a, you know, for a company
and
like
Jordan,
this.
Jordan, to be fair, the stock price was a lot lower when he gave that call. What
that's
was
a good point. Yeah.
When he did the call?
It was probably about 15 bucks, right? 15 to $16.
On the earnings day, it jumped, but it went from a 13 to 13.5 to 14.5 ish
on. So considerably lower. We're talking 25 to 30% lower.
But still, even today, it's sitting at a 7 PE, which I just don't know what to expect on those guys. I don't know what their growth plans are. Like, I don't know enough about the company.
Okay, Jordan, it might be a little lower, but that's what these TV companies generally trade. I mean, they're not trading in double-digit PEs. I mean, they're dying. You know, you can make a case for this entire industry sector that long-term it's a dying sector,
well,
right?
Kind of. I mean, I guess, but what's going on is that there's a lot of consolidation here. And so all, you know, all the local, little small local network guys are just getting picked up by these, you know, conglomerates, right? And there's like, what, probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 of these big conglomerates.
They have to because, Jordan, the cost of doing business, the fixed cost are too high when their revenue isn't continuing to grow. So they're getting some cost efficiencies by kind of consolidating these businesses. And I think that's the one area where Gray has done a good job with less revenue. They're still increasing their earnings power. But it's a different type of investment, right? Yeah. It's a cash flow investment. It's, hey, we know they're going to be dead in 30 years. What is it, 30 or 20 or 10 years or 5 years, right? Like, I think people that are investing in Gray TV for the long term are like, we don't care if it dies in 22 years, right? We're going to have a killer next 22 years of cash generation, and we're going to milk this cow till Netflix kills us, right? Until all the over-the-top services kill us.
Yeah.
And that's not a game I want to play with, right? It's not, I'm a social arb trader, so all I care about is the next 60 days, 60 to 90 days. Will the atmosphere be better for Gray than the market anticipates that it will? Yeah. Or will it be worse?
Or at least was the appearance going to be, right? Because do you even want to hold this thing through the next earnings, or do you just want to ride some of this momentum where people think that it's going to make a big impact?
I bought some options. I'm just riding the momentum.
I still might get in here, Jordan, because I feel like if the Georgia runoff is perceptionally a bigger deal than people anticipate, and I believe it will be, okay? I think the reason why people haven't been focused on the Georgia runoff, and by the way, like mainstream media like folds into financial media, because when mainstream media is talking about the president and Trump and is he going to leave office, is there going to be a civil war, all this stupid stuff, right? Like if we're focused on that, we're not focused on the Georgia runoff. And so financial media has kind of ridden that tailwind of just being so focused on Trump and the administration and the transition and the cabinet members and what that we haven't been as focused on this Georgia situation as I think we would have been if the transition would have started 2-3 weeks ago, right? And so my trade, and I think I'm going to buy a little bit of Gray TV right now, just a little bit, because I like the work that you guys did. I don't think it's a huge trade for me. I don't think it's high conviction. I don't think there's a lot of juice left in this one. But I wouldn't mind being in Gray TV for 60 days because I think I see the attention going to Georgia right now for the next 30 to 60 days. And I think as we get more attention, we're going to pull more investors in and Gray TV is going to be there. So I don't think I'm going to hold it through earnings, Jordan. I don't know. I haven't made that decision. But
you're talking 22 years. I'm like in it for 22 days. Like this is
exactly
New Year's for me.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat on earnings, but I think by then, the perception, like there's already going to be too much momentum going with it. So I'm not sure if they will actually beat everyone's expectations.
Yeah, with this one, I don't know about what you got to do, but what I would want to do is know when to get out.
Yeah.
Which is probably important.
I agree with Chris, the momentum.
Yeah, and I'm purely playing the momentum. I bought options that expire. I don't even know what day they report earnings, but I bought the February's. I'm guessing since they reported that should be about 3 months, but I'm going to be out of these before earnings is my plan. And I bought the ones that are just slightly in the money. It's trading at 18.41 now, so I bought the 1750s.
Dave, I just placed a trade 2 seconds ago.
And what did you do?
For one of the smallest trades I've done in a while. I don't normally do trades as small, but I just purchased like 50,000-60,000 bucks of stock. Hey, if this thing could get another 5 or 10% and I could pull, 4, 5, 6,000 bucks, 7,000 bucks, that pays for a nice vacation. So my time focused on Gray TV would all be worth it. So that's my trade. It's a low conviction only because it's difficult to assess the degree of information saturation on this one and what the market is anticipating. And because of that, I really have to be careful on this one. I think there's probably a slightly more of a chance that the market is under-anticipating than over-anticipating because they've been so focused on the primary election. I think we're going to move now to Georgia for the next 30 days, and I think that will help propel this thing maybe a little bit further, but it's a low-conviction trade for me. But I am in it.
Yeah, because right I think mainstream media is going to keep on pushing like how much ad spend is flowing into Georgia.
Yeah, and don't you think that after – now that the transition story has kind of calmed down, after Thanksgiving, the media is going to pivot towards Georgia because this is a huge election. This is for control of the Senate, and DC could become a state, and Puerto Rico could get statehood. And
I think the fact that this kind of fell election to the background in the headlines is the reason that I got into the trade now, because I felt like I had missed it. But then that's the rationale for me is, we're going to see more about Georgia than we have, in the next 30 days, we're going to see more than we did in the last 30 days.
What's the election date?
I think the media is January 5th on this, but disagree that it's that important because I think there's a perception that the media is trying to create that it's super important because that's good for the media. But the reality is if you have a Senate that's a one seat difference, there's virtually nothing you could do in terms of anything big, right? It's going to be really hard to push any sort of major controversial legislative policy, like making Puerto Rico a state or Washington, D.C. a state. Stuff like that will be really hard, but certainly it will be a net positive in the short run. Now, I think there are theses out there that say that it will be a negative, believe it or not, for the Democratic Party to have a majority in the Senate. And the reason for that is the vast majority of the time that you hold both houses like that, you will then get beaten up. You'll get beaten up in the next interim election in 2022, and they could potentially lose the House in that election, right? And then again, end up losing the Senate because it's such a narrow margin. So if you're going to have it be a very little, tiny, narrow margin, it might actually be better for the Democratic Party to say, hey, we couldn't get any of our stuff done because the Republicans wouldn't let us. We don't have the Senate. If you would just continue to vote for us at the local level, we could actually get our policies done. But anything that you don't like about the last 2 years, we're going to blame that on the Republicans because they wouldn't let us do anything. So there is a major case to be made here that the Democratic Party would be better off not win. I know it sounds insane. Would be better off not winning this election, this runoff election, because it would set themselves up better in 2 years to actually have more of a real majority running in these interim elections, right? So it's an interesting, the media is not going to talk about that. You got to go in deep to get that analysis, yeah. Right? The media is not saying that. So
the problem with
let's
politics.
Not overthink it.
Yeah. The best thing that could happen for the market, though, is nothing happens. So maybe that's good. That's a win-win for everyone. We love it when nothing happens.
Yeah. Dave, the market will prefer, the market would prefer that the Republicans hold the Senate and that very little can actually happen the next 2 years, right? I think you're right. The market loves that. They love it.
But for the purposes of the trade, it doesn't matter, and I agree with you that Democrats will find it hard to pass stuff if they have a one-vote majority, but it's just the perception that they could. You know, the Republicans will get out there and say, if they get control of the Senate, they're going to defund the police, they're going to do all this stuff.
Yes.
It's just the perception for the purposes of the trade.
Correct. Absolutely. So that's my trade. Dave, you're in it with
that's
options.
That's my trade.
Wow.
I'm in with options because – well, I mean, for me, that's just a limiting of my risk. It's either going to make it or break it.
I'm in really small. Like I'm in as if I'm at the casino, I'm at the roulette wheel, and I found a roulette table that, you know, maybe they just took one red off the table. They took one of those red numbers off the table, so I'm betting on black. So
and you went in small on a stock play with a smaller amount than usual. I went in with options so that I could basically leverage any upside while not being too concerned if it goes down.
Fair. Jordan, you're still thinking?
No, I'll buy some when I get off the air.
Okay.
Cool. Nice.
I put my entire life savings in this trade. So
really?
Don't worry about me, guys. I'm good.
No. Are you serious?
We got a high conviction.
Okay. And Chris, how about you?
20% of the portfolio.
Wow. That's okay. That's a strong trade, right?
Yeah.
I was running
about 10% in shares.
10%? That's really strong. But I mean, listen, I don't think you guys have put the work in, right? You put the work in and you're focused on the trade. So, man,
You got in earlier than us. Like we're getting in at the top of this mountain and you got in about halfway up, right?
Yeah, so they're already positive.
Those are sunk costs. It should not impact anyone's decision, my decision to get in. Because listen, the bottom line is both you guys, Mark, Chris, you're making a decision every single day to repurchase that trade at the current price.
Yes.
Agreed?
The fact that they're staying in.
The fact that you were in at 14 or 15 makes no difference because I just bought in at, I don't know, 18, 50, whatever it's at, and you guys just bought in at the same price I just bought in. at the same time I did, because every second that you're not exiting a trade, you're making a conscious decision to repurchase that trade. The only stipulation is if you're holding something for long-term gains and you got a few months left and you're making a decision because you'd rather risk, you know, the loss over the next few months to get the extra 10 or 12% on long-term gains. So,
but speaking of portfolio percentage, I was running 100% Peloton for a little while.
Dude,
it worked out.
Nice.
It worked out.
Well, you know, that's how I am, man. That brings me back to my days when I was 100% in Nintendo back when the Wii first came out, man. I people thought I was nuts. 100% of my life savings was in a single stock, and it wasn't even a U.S. stock. It was ADR.
A random ADR. Yeah.
Hey, when you believe in something, you know.
My entire IRA is in PSTH.
The
Bill Ackman SPAC.
Oh.
So let's talk about that. Do you think that do we have any idea of what that's going to be? Because I know there's been rumors. I know he tried to get into Airbnb. They wouldn't let him. Now he's like he's into family-run businesses, right? He wants. Do you have any idea what sector?
I thought Stripe. I mean, there's a guy on Twitter, YOLO Capital Management, that did like a deep dive, super deep dive, and kind of figured out that Stripe, he was going to merge with Stripe. But that's not confirmed or guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the news pop, because it's got a $20 floor. So, like, it's like a savings account that'll just pop one day.
Yeah. So I agree. So Stripe, I need to look into that. I haven't done much work on Stripe, but I will now and see how I feel about – what do you got, Dave, Jordan? Do you have any feelings on Stripe?
Visa's in that, right?
Yeah, I like all of these payment providers, you know. So yeah. Stripe basically runs the internet. Every store I know is using Stripe as their back end, and I love them.
Yeah,
and it's still showing growth here. Like I'm looking at just their search traffic. I mean, it's definitely still showing.
Yeah, the biggest thing that they've done is they've made their APIs ridiculously friendly for developers to integrate, and so it's kind of they're the processor of choice.
Well, it's a sexy name too.
Yeah,
like
it's great.
I think that could be, but the problem is that it's already up what 20% his SPAC, right?
Yeah.
Opened at 20 or 21. Now it's at 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, that's right. So it's up 12%.
Yeah, before when there's nothing there yet.
On nothing. It's like just the idea of a future company being, a blank check written from this fund.
Let me ask you this: were the private transactions in at 20? Is that what he floated it at? Is that what he?
It's $4 billion, 200 million shares. So
yeah,
opened at 20.
So crazy. Yeah,
I thought most of these things do a $10 open, right? Is that odd? Well, this one went 20?
Because this is the biggest SPAC ever at $4
billion. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just the perception of shares. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. $4 billion, 20, 200 million shares.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at Stripe now. It's not a terrible idea. Well, all right, guys. Dude, this is awesome. Thanks for your hard work on this. Like, appreciate you putting the time. I appreciate you guys sharing your work with Discord community. People always like, Chris, why do you share everything with everybody? Like, don't you want to keep stuff to yourself? I'm like, absolutely not, because collectively with the community, like having you guys share, having me share, no one is going to have higher conviction than me in my own work, right? So like, I'm not worried about other people messing with my trade, because you know, they might read my work and make a trade on their own based on their own research, but it's never impacted me negatively in the past. And I really encourage people to share their work on Discord, because ultimately, even if one person could come in and contribute to it and add to your conviction level, or maybe take away from your conviction level, that alone is so much more valuable than, okay, now I have a bunch of other people messing with my trade. Like, it's not going to make a big difference. So thank you guys for sharing and for being part of the community. It's the entire reason why we did this. And I hope that a year from now, 2 years from now, we are such minuscule parts of our own community. And it's already getting that way, Jordan and Dave.
I love it. I love the pressure being off and that these guys are servicing all these things and we can just help kind of highlight what they're doing. It's awesome.
Jordan, again, we're not financial advisors, though.
So but it's interesting. It's like it's interesting to see how people think and the ideas that they come up with. And that's what I think is great. Even if you take advantage of it, you don't take advantage of it, you think you agree or disagree, it's all very interesting.
Yeah, because I was pulling the hard data from the FCC filings, but I wouldn't have known everything that Mark collected if I hadn't heard it from Discord.
No, yeah. Chris made a phenomenal document. I just called people and lied to them. That's all I
did. You know what? The calling is such an important part of the due diligence. It's my favorite part. I love... And like Dave and Jordan know this, like I love it. I love just getting on the phone and like this summer when we're doing our great outdoors trade, just calling all the RV dealers and calling all like the boat dealers and the
speaking to the guys
that sell four wheelers was ridiculous.
Like it's such a difference in personality because that stuff makes me cringe, but yet Camillo just thrives on it.
I bought
more shares just based on the inflection in their voices. When I asked about, hey, is it gonna be bigger in December? And they're like, oh yeah, it's gonna be huge. I'm like, all right, I'm buying more shares.
And the document wasn't just me; it was also one of the mods in the Discord, Jinx. So.
Oh great!
Oh yeah,
great.
Jinx is all over stuff. He's great.
Yeah, he is strong. I remember a call. I think I told the story before with Under Armour. Not a call. I walked into an Under Armour. Outlet store, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 years ago when Under Armour was getting hot. And the person who I spoke with at the counter had actually was talking about how corporate was talking about how high their online sales were that quarter, that they were up like 40% quarter over quarter, year over year. And just like letting it all out there. It's like, yeah, like the whole company knows, like everybody knows, we're all talking about it. I'm like, and I was just sitting there chatting with a random clerk at a retail store. It makes $5 an hour. And they're just, talking about, literally from the company conference call, right? You never know what information. And by the way, when the information is out there and everyone's just talking about it, just being around people that, the inflection in their voice, that alone, like, I always usually ask, how long have you been with the company, right? And if they've been with the company 2 or 3 years, I'm like, well, how are the sales doing this quarter, this holiday season in your store compared to what you were doing at this store last year? And the inflection in their voice, to see the excitement, and then to say, hey, well, is it just you? Have you been hearing this from other store managers? Like, you can get a lot of great information that is not necessarily, it's not inside information. It's not proprietary because it's just store traffic in someone's store, right? These aren't official numbers from the company. It's literally what they're seeing in their own store. You guys more or less crowded, right?
Chris, out of curiosity, have you ever had this happen where somebody's like, why do you care? Why are you asking me about this? What is your interest in this?
A lot of times I will actually tell them that I'm an investor in the company. And I just like to keep tabs on how they're doing. Like I don't, I'm pretty straightforward. I don't usually make up to, sometimes if you're like hyper honest with them, you're just like, hey, I'm an investor in the company. I'm always keeping track of how you guys are doing. I get a little nervous. I just want to make sure things are going well, if they're going better or worse than anticipated. And they'll just talk to you, They're like, yeah, I mean, this is great. And I talked about other stuff too. What is it like to work at the company? What is it, a lot of times you can tell when things are going well at a company, it's usually a friendly place to work at. Like Jordan, Dave, you know that. Like when a company is on up and to the right, everyone loves working there. When things start to flatten out and they start to get a little ugly, you can kind of see it in the inflection in the employee attitudes. And how they think about their job, about management, about working there. So I just, it's an important part of social arb trading is getting out there on the street and just, you could do it in person or you can do it through glass, what is it called? Glass
door.
Glass door.
Glass door.
Yeah. Yeah, so Glassdoor, I mean, I've gotten a lot of great intel from Glassdoor, too. Yeah.
And don't just look at the stars, like, read what these people are saying, too.
Yeah.
You can do it.
And we've been getting valuable information on Peloton through LinkedIn job openings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. It's a big, big part of it. Well, listen, guys, I know Jordan has a, well, like a prime
rib. Yeah, I've got to run. I've got a prime rib on. It's it just hit 102 degrees internal. So I am pretty close. It's pretty close.
He's tracking that like a stock.
I've got Bluetooth on my phone, so I...
Nice.
All right. Nice. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys in Discord.
Absolutely.
And let's pull up the live chat. We can say goodbye to Jordan. I'm buying some Pershing Square right now. So.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
I want to buy some too, Dave. I'm going to buy some right now. What's that symbol again?
It's SP something.
PSTH. Pershing PSTH. Square.
And you know why I'm buying it? Holdings. Because I know everyone loves to rip on Bill. I love him. I think he's freaking great.
I love what he did with Herbalife, by the way. That made it for me.
I agree.
Even though it didn't work out for him, I think he did the right thing.
Dude, Jordan, totally. Hold on a second here.
All right, guys. I got to run. Got to get this.
Running in my order before Dave.
I have a limit price, and it's just barely filling.
No, me too, Dave.
I'm squeaking through. We're probably alternating. All right, Jordan, we'll see you.
Talk to you later.
Bye, buddy. Bye. Later. Have a good Thanksgiving, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, you too.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
And all of our community have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, oh, wait. Well, wait, I brought this just for the occasion if we're actually doing a sign-off.
Oh, that is nice. That is nice. Well, you guys don't have to sign off. I just have to sign off.
All right, Jordan, we will see you. I've got the two-shot ready to go if I can find it again. It's rarely used, so I don't have a shortcut for it. All right. See you, Jordan. Happy Thanksgiving.
Later, man. Dude, Dave, my trade on this PSTH just totally got pulled, man. I put 10,000 share order in. I only got 1,500 shares. They yanked the ask up like 5 cents.
That's because you and I are both trying to buy 10,000 shares at the same time at the same limit price. Are you limiting $2,450?
Let me see. I have mine's in. Oh, shoot, now I can't find it. Let me see.
We are the reason that this. Just stop placing trades at the same time as me.
Yeah, 24.
We're both doing it at 24.50.
You should have told me you were doing that. 24.53. All right, here's what I'll do. You want me to drop my trade for a while? I'll drop my. Since you did get it.
It's
first,
definitely. We both can get filled at 24.50 if we just are patient.
No, I'm going to put mine in at 20, a 49, if that's what yours is. I put mine in for a penny less. I'm going to give you the shares. And if you get filled, then it will drop to mine. And maybe I'll end up better than you. Maybe I'll get mine.
They're coming in at like 30 shares at a time. I'm up to 1,936 shares. I hate it when I get weird, uneven numbers.
They know that, too.
I know.
Okay, so Dave, I need to focus for the rest of today. All I'm going to be thinking about is Nikola, because I want to nail this trade. I want so badly for this company. I am not like this. You know, I'm not like a short guy.
You're not normally vindictive towards the company's, you know, success or failure. I'm in it for me, and I hope everyone does well. But here, you actually don't want Trevor to come out on top.
He's going to, regardless.
Dave, he has the perfect deal.
Do you realize, Dave, that if the stock stays where it is, Trevor is going to sell as much as $3 billion of stock next week? Could you imagine? Trevor is going to be a billionaire, not by a little bit. He's going to have billions of dollars of cash. Billions of dollars again. Could you even imagine?
But he's kind of a genius because he just propped up the idea of a company and got people to buy in on the concept and positioned himself as the majority owner of this idea, and then got it to the point where he got in trouble and had to walk away, but he got to keep all these shares and gets to sell them at the time when people are for some reason still thinking the company is worth something.
Dave, you could say he's a genius if it
works
for a few things. right? Like that are sketchy and that are, well, we'll find out soon enough how legal they were, right? We'll find out with how these lawsuits play out. But like the truck, pushing the truck down a highway. I mean, these are the things. I'm gonna let it all play out. I'm gonna let it all play out in court, and we'll see the degree to which he's totally fine or not fine. But I don't like it. Ethically, I don't like any of it. And honestly, I don't want this to be rewarded. I don't want people that try to pull off stuff like that to be rewarded, because
I don't want it
to happen again in the future. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's ethical. I think anyone that did lose money on Nikola, or if this thing does blow up, which I feel it deserves to blow up, I think there will be lots of investors that don't really understand that will get blown up with it. And I don't think that's right. I'd like to think that the courts protect people, but the reality is that they don't. You get screwed in deals like this, right? We've gotten screwed in deals over the last 30 some odd years. And I really, really hope that GM just says, we're just not doing it, period. And if they do it, I hope it's a type of deal where it's like, well, yeah, we'll let you spend $1 billion with us. And yeah, we'll take 10% of your company for no reason. Yeah, I mean, if you want to give it to us, we'll take it. But I hope the market wakes up to the fact that it's a vendor deal. It's not a partnership. It's a vendor deal disguised by Nikola as a partnership. And I just hope the deal doesn't happen. And I hope that these people don't get the ability to sell that much of their stock at these artificial prices. But do you think it's a little weird, Dave? Or does it make sense that the window opens up on December 1st to sell your stock, but they can't pull out of the deal till December 3rd, or they do, there's penalties. Isn't that interesting timing, Dave?
It's fishy. Very interesting timing, and I think it's very intentional timing.
Very fishy, right? And so
there was something else. I can't remember specifically, but there was something else where the timing of the ability for insiders to be able to sell was tied to some other event that it was just magically the perfect day for them to sell.
There was another event like that.
I can't remember what it was.
They're crafty like that at Nikola. No,
but that's all they do. Instead of designing and actually producing vehicles, they design artificial financial vehicles to pump up their own wallets.
Well, they do allegedly design some vehicles. They
allegedly, some according
trucks
to sources.
Technically, they have a truck. They do not have working trucks now, right? I mean, at a certain point, Dave, when you have that much money, when you're raising that much money, it's not that hard to have a working freaking truck, right? I mean, they have a couple of them now. I mean, but can't you just, like, Dave, if I gave you $1 billion, you could go get a working truck made, right? I mean, with other people doing it for you. It's not that hard. Give me a break.
It's not
that hard at all. So, you know, I don't know, man. I just can't. Do you realize that if this deal falls apart, Dave, we're talking about potentially a 50, 60, 70, 75, 80% haircut on this stock? How often? That's an opportunity. So I'm taking a little bit of a risk with the options that expire next Friday, which is the 4th. It's a little risky, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's technically a day after the deadline. I think there's at least a 50% chance we'll find out by then. And it's multiple days after the trade window opens up. So I bought $25 puts, strike price puts. I'm shorting the stock, of course. Yeah. But I have $25 puts. The stock's at what, $10.55? The only question in my mind is, how many more do I buy? How much money am I willing to lose if I'm wrong on this? Because it's not high conviction by any means at all. It's like somewhere between low and mid conviction. But I think that if I'm right, there's a lot more upside than downside, right? On those options.
No, I think
bought them
totally
for like
right.
a buck, what did I buy them for, like $1.60 or something like that? I think this thing could easily go to 20, 18, 18, 19, 20 by next Friday if the thing falls apart. And we're looking at a 5x my money, right? So I'm looking at a 5x-er if I'm right, and a 0, zeroing out if I'm wrong. So do I feel like there's a 50-50 chance, or maybe a little higher, that I'm right? I think it's somewhere sitting there between 50 and 60, 65% chance I'm right. So if that's the case, and I'm like 50 to 60%, let's even call it 50%. If I have like a 50-50 shot at getting somewhere between a 2X and a 5X my money, let's call it a 3.5X.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are in my
with
favor.
Your,
right?
With your risk tolerance, that's totally normal. So, you would do that all day long.
Yeah. I mean, it's a risky trade. I get it. It's a risk. I mean, it's a trade where I have close to a 50% chance of losing all my money. I mean, it's at least on the options. So.
It's very similar to being in a casino.
Yeah.
Where you have close to a 50% chance of losing all your money on every single hand you play.
But the difference is in a casino, you're 50% chance of doubling your money. I think I have a 50% chance of tripling or more my money, 3.5xing my money. So
and it's just as fun as being in a casino, probably more fun because you're profiting on an event that you want to have happen anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Makes it just more entertaining.
This is way more entertaining than any casino trade for me, Dave. I haven't really gambled heavily in 25 years outside of the stock market. All right, man.
I don't think we're getting our Pershing because it's now 24:56.
Oh, stop it, dude.
So do I need to just raise my bid, get these?
This is annoying. Well, I'm just going to keep mine in there right now.
Yeah, I'll keep it in. I think it has the ability to go down and get my price.
Okay, Dave, I am going to go. Tomorrow I'm having a Popeye's chicken for Thanksgiving. I'm going to
pop that in the oven for an hour. It's the most expensive turkey ever. If you factor in how much money you lost in Popeye's stock.
About $750,000 last year. I lost on my restaurant brands trade, Popeye's, Burger King, and Tim Hortons. It wasn't Popeyes that let me down. It was Tim Hortons. But yes, it was this is a $750,000 turkey.
That's very exciting. I'm having no turkey. I'm having a family Zoom call, and that's about it.
Okay. I'm doing a family Zoom call as
but
well.
But I'm really looking forward to watching the parade. The televised only version of the parade is very exciting for me. And I hear the dog show is going to be also a scaled down version, but they're still having the dog show. So Chimmy and I will
be dogs
watching that together.
Masks?
No, but what I heard is they're basically limiting the field of entrance just to like the finalists. Instead of doing like all the groups, they're just doing like the final rounds.
That's kind of
cool. I have
no
idea. I don't. Dog shows are only something that I watch as a Thanksgiving tradition. I don't really know the rules or what I'm rooting for, but I just like to find dogs that look like my dog to win.
All right, so we have the Thanksgiving parade, which I usually go to every year. I'm not going there this year.
It's the first time in a long
time. We have the dog
show.
I'll definitely watch that. I think there might be a hot dog competition after the dog show, usually. Is that
right?
That's
4th of July.
That's 4th of July. Okay, take that away.
You're mixing your eating holidays.
We have the cowboy game.
Yes.
That should be interesting, as always. And then I'm going to watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I've been thinking about that movie. I want my kids to watch it. I think with all the political stuff going on, that's so negative. I really want to like have a more positive influence on my kids of what.
I'm going to be watching Miracle on 34th Street because I'm pretty sure that's the Thanksgiving tradition when Santa rolls into 34th Street. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is a different old-timey movie that also has
I think they share some of the same actors actually in both.
There were only like seven actors in those eras in that era. So yeah.
All right, guys. Dumb Money Community, we are going to be back with a Black Friday episode.
By the way, the chat is saying that Dallas sucks this year, and some people are saying go Dallas, some people are saying Dallas. Hey, by the way, in that division, they are all like 3-7. So
I think
Dallas is like tied for first place, I believe. No, tied. They're all tied for first place.
Here's the thing. People are right. They suck so bad that they don't even realize that they should be playing their B team and going for a good draft slot right now. They should not be playing for anything other than a draft slot. So the fact that they won this week was an idiotic thing to do. They should be practicing you know, team two, team three, just get a great draft slot. That's what a good strategy would be for the
that's,
Cowboys.
That's but their, of course, their losing strategy for is a long-term winning strategy, but they're not even good at losing.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got a lot of work to do. We have so many individual ticker episodes just like today coming up next week and the week after. Stick with us. We have a Black Friday episode coming on Black Friday. I'm not going to tell you what that means yet, but you'll find out on Friday or when Dave releases the thumbnail.
Is that because you don't know what that exactly means? I'm pretty sure it's going to have something to do with Black Friday, but I don't know if it's buying stocks at discount prices, or is it going to be buying retailers that are going to do well this holiday season?
Yeah, you have 48 hours to figure it out.
All right.
All right.
Thank you guys for watching. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We are so glad and thankful that we have such a devoted group of people watching us every day now that we're doing this every day. We will be back here for Black Friday special episode. And until then, thanks for watching. We will see you then.